Welcome to Backseat Box Office, episode number 218, for the weekend of January 23rd through January 25th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. How's it going, Art?
It's going really good. I am on vacation right now, so I've been off all week. I've been getting stuff done around the house, getting out of the house a little bit. There is this place called the Treehouse that I took Aubrey to, let Mama stay home and have some alone time to relax. And we went off, and she ran around with a bunch of other kids, you know, around her age or older on this giant kind of well padded, completely netted in treehouse with slides and little punching bags and things to roll over and swing around on, and she had a blast. So it's been a good week, and I've still got a few days off before I have to go back to work, so I can't complain.
Good man, Art. Yeah. You know what's funny is the multiple times we've gone to Legoland has something like that. And, you know, of all the rides and stuff, kids spend, you know, like an hour or two just running around in there. And they have the, you know, like the 100-foot slide that goes down. And, yeah, no, it's fun. We never had stuff like that, right, Art?
Yeah, no. And your Legoland sounds way better than my Legoland. Because we've got this little, I don't even know if it's a Lego. I think it's Legoland. It's Lego something. But Brittany took Aubrey to it, and she was like, it was really lame. And I'm like, that's kind of sad. they had a lot of cool, like, Star Wars Legos. Like, they had a whole, like, build-out of the docking port at Mos Eisley with the Millennium Falcon in it. That was, like, a pretty big – it was, like, a full-size Millennium Falcon to the Lego figures. Like they have the big one that's like 2 foot, but that's not really the right scale for the size the people are. So they had a couple other things that were really neat, but they were just displays. And she's like, other than that, there wasn't really a lot going on because it's like it's in a mall, so it's not like a big.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, this is a attraction thing.
So.
This is a full blown amusement park. I'll have to send you a picture. They have an actual size X-wing built. It's pretty sweet.
Nice.
That's their newest thing. So, okay. Let's end this tangent and let's talk about how the movies did last week, specifically how the box office did. Okay, so at number one, we have American Sniper with $89.3 million. At number two, we have The Wedding Ringer at $20.6 million. At number three, we have Paddington at $18.9 million. At number four, we have Taken 3 with $14.7 million. And at number five, we have Selma at $8.7 million. So there's your top five. Art, what do you think?
Wow, American Sniper, how about that? That came out of nowhere. That I believe it said it was a record for this time of year, or very, very close to it. I saw a little blurb somewhere, I just kind of passed it by, but I was very surprised by that. It makes me, I don't know what it is. Is it just the you know, American patriotism coming out after all the recent, you know, threats? Is it Bradley Cooper, the new super hotness? You know, what was the right formula that this thing just exploded? Is it word of mouth? Is it, I mean, I haven't heard anything bad, but I haven't really heard a lot about it.
There's a lot of backlash over, there's a scene in the movie where Cooper's character is holding a fake baby.
Oh.
And I guess that there have been.
Yes, I haven't heard it.
Less than positive comments from Michael Moore about the movie. So I don't know if that controversy is. I don't know what effect it's having, but, you know, it is there. As far as total box office, though, for January, the first week they had $134 million, second week they had $110 million, and then this weekend it rocketed up to $184 million, which is a 67% change from the previous week, even though
wow.
It had the same amount of movies. So yeah, right. So you know, you can just say word of mouth, I guess.
Yeah.
Oscar nominations, you know, came out recently, so yeah, it's interesting how, you know, how much it changed. So anyways, that was last week's box office results. So now let's look ahead to this weekend. And we have three movies opening up in wide release. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
All right. Well, first off, we have Mordecai. No critic reviews yet. So no tomato meter rating. 92% want to see it out of a measly 16,868 users. Juggling some angry Russians, the British MI5, his impossibly leggy wife, and an international terrorist, debonair art dealer, and part-time rogue, Charlie Mordecai, Johnny Depp, must traverse the globe armed only with his good looks and special charm in a race to recover a stolen painting rumored to contain the code to a lost bank account filled with Nazi gold. Rated R for some language and sexual material. Action-adventure, directed by David Kopp. Written by Eric Aronson. 1 hour and 46 minutes. Cast: Johnny Depp, Gwyneth Paltrow, Ewan McGregor, Olivia Munn, Jeff Goldblum, Paul Bettany. I'm a big Paul Bettany fan.
Yeah, same here.
But I'm still not in for this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about what to think about Johnny Depp anymore.
It just seems a little too... Oh, I like Johnny Depp. I really do. I would be less interested if it wasn't Johnny Depp, but it just seems a little too wacky for me. This is something I could definitely wait on. This will not drag me to the theater, even if I had more free time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Paltrow doesn't help. And I'm trying to find what other movies he's done. He was the director and screenwriter for Premium Rush, director for Ghost Town.
Okay.
It says he was a screenwriter for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, so there goes all his cred. yeah, he's got a lot of... This can't be right. Death Becomes Her, 92? That was one of his first movies.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah. This is probably an avoid unless you get discount tickets, folks. All right, so we can move on to the second one?
Yes, why don't you tell us about Strange Magic?
Strange Magic, and I'm definitely going to accent strange here. 13% on the tomato meter, 8 reviews, 1 person liked it, 7 people opposite of not, they did not like it. Out of the audience, 85% want to see it out of a paltry 4,628. So let's talk about the description. Strange Magic, a new animated film from Lucasfilm Limited, is a madcap fairy tale musical inspired by a Midsummer Night's Dream. Popular songs from the past 6 decades help tell the tale of a colorful cast of goblins, elves, fairies, and imps, and their hilarious misadventures sparked by the battle over a powerful potion. Lucasfilm Animation Singapore and Industrial Light and Magic bring to life the fanciful forest turned upside down with world-class animation and visual effects. Directed by Gary Rydstrom, written by David Barenbaum, Irene Mecki, Gary Rydstrom. 1 hour and 39 minutes, and guess what, folks? For the first time in the history of the show, no cast is listed for the movie. So...
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Apparently there is no PR staff in Lucasfilm Singapore. Yeah, I don't know what to think about this. Didn't Disney buy LucasArts? I mean, was
maybe they
this,
didn't have any...
did they have no interest in this?
No. They said, you know, we don't have anything for you to do right now. Lucas Animation Singapore, do whatever you want. And this is what popped out. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, it says from the mind of George Lucas, but, you know, he doesn't have a writing credit. I don't know. It's definitely right. Strange. It's definitely strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels kind of like retreaded territory, because, like I said, the preview I saw, it totally made me think of Epic, which I had just watched, you know, not that long ago. So I don't know. Aubrey's seen the commercial. She hasn't expressed any interest. So we'll see. The most interesting thing about it is that it's from Lucasfilm Animation Singapore. And the pause in there was purposeful.
Yeah, and what might be one of the most urban reviews we've ever read on the show reads whack on paper and plays only slightly less whack on screen. From Matt, I'm going to say Prig, from some publication called Metro. So yeah, this is definitely in the void, unless someone pays you to see it, as opposed to discount tickets. Okay.
Right. Free tickets.
What was that?
I said, if they're free tickets, probably. Yeah. I'd probably go if it was free. Right.
You might want to negotiate for a popcorn on top of that. Okay. our third movie coming out wide release, kind of finishing a theme here. Art, why don't you tell us about The Boy Next Door?
Okay, The Boy Next Door. Pausing while the page reloads because it just died on me. There we go. 20% on the tomato meter. 10 reviews counted, 2 fresh, 8 rotten. 89% want to see it out of a surprisingly low 12,500. Jennifer Lopez leads the cast in The Boy Next Door, a psychological thriller that explores a forbidden attraction that goes much too far. Directed by Rob Cohen, The Fast and the Furious, and written by Barbara Curry, the film also stars Ryan Guzman, John Corbett, and Kristen Chenoweth. Oh, I like her a lot. And the page has locked. I am not having a... Nope. The entire page is blanked out.
That's okay. So someone decided to let's take this Lifetime movie out to the theaters. Let's see if, you know, Miss Lopez still has draw. I'm definitely not going to see this.
Right. Okay, here is the rest of the information. Rated R. Mm-hmm. Mystery and suspense. Directed by Neil Fernerly and Rob Cohen. Written by Barbara Curry. 1 hour and 31 minutes. We have Jennifer Lopez, Ian Nelson, John Corbett, Kristen Chenoweth, Ryan Guzman, Elaine Chenoin? No.
Hey, it works for me.
That is the rest. Yeah. I have no interest. I think the last movie I saw of hers like this was it Enough? Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Is that what the audience was saying? Yeah.
I don't. Pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. As I'm wont to do, here's some of the critic, barbs from the critics' reviews on this movie. We'll start with a fresh one. It isn't nearly as daring or discomforting as it could be. It is, however, trashy good fun and impressively steamy. All right, that gets me a little closer to seeing it. But let's jump over to the media mogul that is CompuServe. Typical January release, predictable, trashy, over the top, but not without entertainment value. So that's a semi-rotten. Alan Scherstel from The Village Voice. It's built for dumb, shivery, sexed-up pleasure, and it delivers, albeit somewhat modestly. So I just read the two positive reviews. This is an avoid. It is January, so now you know why it's released in January.
Yeah.
So, J-Lo could do better. All right, so that concludes our quick review of the three movies coming out in wide release. And so, at this point, we can get the share time. So, why don't I start with what I watched over the past week? Sound good to you?
Sounds good.
Okay. So, just... before I came into the office to record this night's episode, my son told me that he watched Star Wars Rebels without me, so I had to watch it before tonight's show. So, okay. I watched the Lando episode. Have you watched the Lando episode?
I have watched the Lando episode, but before you dig too deeply into the Lando episode, so you've obviously seen the one before that, which we had not discussed yet.
That is correct. So if we go back 1 week, I believe you dropped a hint that there was a big cameo in last week's episode.
I didn't say a cameo. Well, it was sort of a cameo, but they did talk about who trained Kanan.
So you're talking about the little guy? Are you talking
yes,
about the little
the
guy?
Little green guy.
Okay.
Little green guy.
All right. Now, I've only watched that episode once, and I thought he made a reference that Ezra did something, and Kanan said, "My master, she would never go for that."
Okay, well,
I thought he said she, so I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking, because, you know, the only female Jedi that I know, you know, is Ahsoka.
Right, yeah.
Or there's also a, you know, a very quick visual mention of a Twi'lek Jedi, but she got killed
and
during
then,
Order 66.
Right, and then there's the Jedi they were looking for to...
Oh, I forgot about her.
...to break out, but it was just
yes.
a trap.
Yes.
But a couple of things he says, he talks about when he was training him. Now, you know, it's not to say that, you know, one person gets trained under one master, you know, completely and totally.
I mean,
Anakin started under Qui-Gon and finished under Ben Kenobi.
Yeah, but I think that's more the exception than the rule, though. At least, you know, as far
as I
feel.
Like I said, I felt like some of the things he said didn't sound... Some of them sounded like, you know, you would address anyone above you as master. You know, but a couple of the things he said that, you know, Yoda said, talking particularly about when he was trained, made it sound like he was the one who did some of the training.
Right.
So anyway, right. I just thought that was interesting. But, you know, good episode overall. So the Lando episode.
Yeah, no, before we go to Lando, I did enjoy that episode, and, you know, kind of makes you think that, you know, the hole or the tree on Dagobah and the Jedi Temple kind of serves the same purpose.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's
that
a test.
So that was good. And, you know, kind of going forward, we're both wondering after watching the previous episode, not this one, the Lando one, you know, what does Ezra's lightsaber do? Because it definitely does not look like your typical lightsaber.
No.
And probably has your traditional Jedi rolling over in their proverbial graves. That probably is the most uncivilized lightsaber ever created.
Right.
But anyways, no. You know, between having Lando and having a scene with Vader... that I never saw, but I, you know, I just read a news story about, and having Yoda
right.
and, you know, and are they hitting stunt casting a little early, but I thought this was a solid episode. I loved the story at how it related to Lando. I think they did a really good job, of staying true to Lando's character and not turning him into, you know, a rebel.
Yeah, no. I thought, because Lando is supposed to be this huge scoundrel, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the stories we've heard, you know, it's all this secondhand information, because in the movies he's not that character, you know, he's you know, a guy who's in a bad situation and makes some decisions, you know, and then later goes on to, you know, join the rebellion because he was pushed too far, you know, so this is a definitely pre that area when he is that scoundrel. You know, completely
mm-hmm.
and totally 100%. And I think they hit it really hard. And I thought it was great. And you know, the last line was perfect when he's like, yeah, I know they took the fuel. That's why I didn't pay them. And I was like, that was perfect.
Yeah. I was upset that we didn't see a preview of what's happening next week, but you know, be that as it may, We're definitely digging Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
I watched one other TV show. I got through the first half of Agent Carter.
Okay.
Have you been watching Agent Carter at all?
I am totally behind Agent Carter. I've been watching something else. I will talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm intrigued on where they're going. But I'm definitely in to watching the rest of it. And, you know... Thank you for Time Warner On Demand, because that was the only way I was able to watch it. Because I actually had the house sit for my mom for a couple hours, And I actually found that on demand, even though I have it recorded. But I was able to watch it uninterrupted for once on her, you know, on her 50-inch Samsung TV. So I was a pig and slop for about 42 minutes, even though you still get commercials and you can't fast forward. Because I watched the first 20 minutes twice. But I like a lot of the cast and some of the minor characters in that show. And there's a great, you know, comic book thing where the bad people are communicating with each other via typewriter, almost like a chat room kind of thing.
Nice.
Where what the one person types on the typewriter, the other side can see, and they can type. You know, so that was really cool. So I'm excited. I need to get off my butt and watch more. I also started rewatching Helix. Helix, I guess, came back. The season 2 premiere was this past week, and they did a.
I don't know that one. What is?
Helix. Helix was conceived by Ronald D. Moore, and it stars, I just forgot his name. The guy was in Rocketeer. He plays the head of a team from the CDC that has to investigate a contagion at a research station in the North Pole, and things are not what they seem.
It's a horror show.
Reminds me of The Thing. But kind of, you know,
that's immediately what I thought of.
Right. But they, you know, they're doing experiments on monkeys and they're messing with the human genome, and, you know, hence the name of the show, Helix. It's extremely creepy. But I'm giving it a shot because I love Battlestar Galactica. And I've been hearing great things about 12 Monkeys. So I have it recorded, and I'm hoping to report back next week on the pilot.
Okay. Interesting. And
that Sci-Fi did something right for once. They've actually made 12 Monkeys better than the movie. At least that's what I've heard. And we had a date night. So let me go to movies for a second. We had a date night, and so I wasn't really that excited about Wedding Ringer. And the wife was kind of halfway in on Wedding Ringer. So I convinced her to see Grand Budapest Hotel in the theater. Yes. It was in one theater, only for a couple showings. But it was nice to watch it again because it's so quirky a movie. It's nice to hear where the audience laughs, and, you know, in addition to the parts that I think are funny. So it was definitely fun to see it that way. And, you know, and I think there's another level of enjoyment when you see it on the big screen because of the way it's shot, even though I think my wife got halfway motion sick. But I think it was more of the lack of AC, and we sat in the way back and she couldn't recline. So she didn't enjoy it as much as she probably could have. But, you know, she was a trooper. She enjoyed it. She enjoyed it. Okay, so a couple TV shows and one movie. So, Art, why don't you regale us with your share time?
Okay. So, as we discussed, I am all caught up on Star Wars Rebels and still absolutely loving it. I have not watched Agent Carter because I have been just devouring Ultimate Spider-Man and the a lot of the ones they're putting up right now. It's under the subtitle Web Warriors. That's the subtitle I was trying to come up with last time I was talking about this, where so just all these different pulling in, you know, his own little team, to the point where now there are two teams. There's, you know, the kind of his S.H.I.E.L.D. team and the New Warriors team that they've just been building and building and building, and then he's gone off and become an Avenger in this Ultimate Spider-Man. And I'm just really enjoying it. So it's come to the point where I'll choose to watch that over going back on and catching up on Agent Carter. I think part of it is it's easier to watch because Aubrey has been watching it too. And the other thing is they're half an hour episodes instead of hour episodes. So it's just been a little more digestible. But I think I've only got a couple more episodes of that, so that I'll start digging into Agent Carter. Finally got Brittany to sit down and watch The Avengers. and I rewatched The Avengers. I still really enjoyed it, but now having rewatched it, I definitely enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit more. Not a lot, but enough to say I definitely liked that movie better. There was just a little more, I don't know, just hit me right, you know, just a little more in my wheelhouse with the being in space and all that and still being a superhero movie.
Yeah, I think on further reflection that I'm going to give a slight nod to Avengers. Just, you know, because it's just so important as kind of paving the groundwork or paving the road for the where we are today. Because if Avengers wasn't a success, you know, we'd definitely be seeing something different.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, and there might not have been a Guardians. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, and not to argue or try and be argumentative, but, you know, just because one thing is a stepping stone to another is not a reason to hold the first thing in a higher esteem. You know, you can look at Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises. You definitely don't have The Dark Knight Rises without Batman Begins. The Dark Knight Rises is clearly a much, much better film. You know, so I think Guardians just hits me just right where I want to be.
Well,
but Avengers, but you know what? Brittany enjoyed Avengers better. She did not sit through Guardians. She kept coming and going and just it did not grab her. Whereas Avengers, she watched all the way through and really enjoyed it.
See the Avengers for me, it's never been done before that they pulled together characters from four different movies into one movie.
And no.
Batman didn't do that.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to have another movie that has all the characters, and we're kind of going to catch up where everybody is, you know, between the first Avengers and the second Avengers. DC is, you know, wants to do the same thing with Batman versus Superman.
Right.
And, you know, if Avengers wasn't a success, you know, maybe they make a different directing choice for Guardians of the Galaxy. That's all I'm saying, because, you know, they felt like they were, you know, they were up at the blackjack table. And so they, you know, took a little more risks than they probably would have.
Right.
Because
they were sitting on a bigger stack.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
no,
I mean,
definitely.
And I know that I own both of the movies, and I find myself rewatching the Avengers more than I do Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I don't know why, but you know, it's, you know, we're probably splitting hairs here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's more of a classic, you know, superhero movie,
right.
Whereas Guardians is more oddball, and I think I've just always been more of an oddball.
I mean, if you're just gonna look at fun factor, you definitely have to give it to Guardians.
Okay. Well, moving on.
Okay.
The other movie I saw, I finally sat down and watched Cowboys vs. Aliens.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. I did not realize this is a Jon Favreau film.
Yes, it is.
And I had no expectations going into this. I recorded it just because it was on. And I fully thought it was going to be a real stinker because it did not perform well at the box office. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was better than it had any right to be with a title like Cowboys versus Aliens. I had got done watching it. I woke up early because, you know, I'm just on that schedule. I woke up at like 5:30 in the morning, could not get back to sleep. So I'm like, oh, well, I'll go watch a movie, you know, and I'm just about wrapping it up right as the rest of the house is getting up. And she's like, what are you watching? I'm like, Cowboys versus Aliens. She's like, how was that? I'm like, I said, it was actually pretty good. She's like, no, 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 it couldn't have been good. It's called Cowboys versus Aliens. And I'm like, yeah, they could have came up with a better name. But that was the name of the comic it was based on. So that was its name. And I was like, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. So I would recommend it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. And hey, Livy Wilde gets naked in this movie. So not that you see a whole lot, but.
You know, I thought she looked familiar. I didn't look up who she was, but okay, that's who that was. Nice.
Yeah. No, there was a lot of good supporting actors in this movie, as well. And, you know, strangely enough, there is a lot of great special features on Cowboys vs. Aliens. There is a very long interview with Steven Spielberg about movies that was really good, even though he really had nothing, or he had something to do with the movie, but I think he was just one of those 3 million executive producers.
Right.
But there's some pretty big interviews that if you're a movie buff, it's definitely worth checking out. I'm actually going to have to look that up and report back on that next week.
Okay.
What else?
Okay, and that is it for me. So I am all watched out.
Okay.
But you really think being on vacation, I would have watched more stuff, but, you know,
well,
more Bones. Bones just is the flavor of the day. I just watched the, it made me happy and it made me sad. I watched the episode of Bones that had the cast from The Finder on it. And so The Finder spun off from Bones. I'd forgotten about that. And do you remember The Finder at all? Did you watch
No.
The Finder was this really, it was kind of this quirky, offbeat, you know, kind of this guy who finds things for people. That's what he does. You know, he is. It's almost a borderline mystical supernatural ability to connect the dots and find things, and that is what he does. But it had Michael Clark Duncan in it.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and he, I don't know whether his passing put the final nail in the coffin or whether it was already canceled, because it only got one season. But I really, really enjoyed it. And so, yeah, that there was a little Finder crossover in my Bones. But that's it. That's what's been going on here on the home front.
Okay. So let's go to news. Okay. So I'm going to start the news. As soon as I figure out which one should go first, I'm just going to spin. Okay. I have a bone to pick with the Golden Globes. I watched some of the Golden Globes, and I found out who won most, or, you know, who won each award, and I didn't really have a problem. I had one humongous problem. Best animated movie. How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Okay.
How do you pick that? Either over Lego Movie or my pick, Big Hero 6.
I don't
understand.
Mm.
Now, mind you, this is the Hollywood Foreign Press, and maybe there's an angle I just don't see here, but I don't know how. I mean, I've seen all three of the movies Big Hero 6 1, Lego Movie 2, and How to Train Your Dragon 2 3rd. But yeah, I just don't, and then Lego Movie's not even nominated for Best Animated by the Oscars.
Oh,
I just don't understand.
That is terrible. That is.
Oh man.
That's totally justified. I don't know anybody. I can't imagine anybody putting How to Train Your Dragon over either of those, Hero 6 or Lego Movie.
Yeah, I just don't know. Okay, so, but that's not the news story I wanted to talk about. I have fun facts about the 87th Oscars. So this is going to be a little nerdy, a little, you know, number nerdy kind of thing. So I'm just going to launch into this. All right, so the number of people nominated for more than one award based on that. So this is just numbers based on, or counts based on all the people that got nominated for all the random awards. So okay. Number of people nominated for more than one award, 9. Number of newcomers, people that have never been nominated before, 127. Number of returning nominees, 74. Number of returning winners, 32. I don't know what that means, so I'm just going to skip down. Most previous nominations, Meryl Streep, 18. Most previous nominations by someone who isn't Meryl Streep, Clint Eastwood and Roger Deakins, tied at 11. number of women nominated, 45. Number of people of color nominated, 20. Number of women of color nominated, 3. Oldest nominee is Clint Eastwood at 84, even though Robert Duvall is also 84, but Clint is 7 months and 6 days older.
Nice.
And it says here, so suck it, Duvall. youngest nominee, Emma Stone at 26 for Birdman. Average age of nominee, 46. Number of people using initials, 7. Number of deceased nominees, there's 1, Walter Martin. Most common name among nominees, Dan slash Daniel, was 6 people. Most common letter in name is A, 279 occurrences. Most least common letter is Q, with 3 occurrences. number of people who have the words, sorry mom, dick, ass, or poo in their name somewhere, 4. the shortest name, Hu Wei, and the longest name, Elizabeth Yiani Georgiou. So, yeah, that's enough of that. So, yeah, this little thing made me laugh. All right, so Art, what do you have first?
Okay, well, the headline for this is, wait, the Hulk is going to turn gray in Avengers 2? This is a bunch of speculation because the a early release of images for the pop vinyl figures for the Avengers Age of Ultron line prominently features a gray Hulk. The imagery is definitely, you know, looks like Ultron, Iron Man. You know, they look like the images we've seen so far of the characters, and yet why they chose a gray Hulk. So there's speculation that the Scarlet Witch might, you know, cast a spell on people, that, you know, the people are going to be having hallucinations and whatnot, and that's why we might get a gray Hulk. Or is the Hulk going to start becoming more and more in control, which the time when he was gray, there was it was a kind of a separate personality. I don't know if you ever heard the name Joe Fixit. I had before. I read a lot on the history of the characters. There was a time where he was the Gray Hulk. He was kind of totally in control of himself. He wasn't a rage monster. He was very intelligent, and we'll see where they're going.
Hi, Bunny.
But I just thought it was interesting. You know, what do the people at Pop Vinyl know that we don't?
Yeah, I mean, because he does have, I think someone said that he does have red eyes at the end of the trailer of Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, which kind of leads them to believe that Scarlet Witch is controlling him, and that's why Tony's in the Hulkbuster suit.
Right.
So, but, you know, whether that's true or not, we'll have to see.
Yes.
We will have to see. Okay, so let's talk about Star Wars Episode 7. I have one quick note, which is probably not a real big surprise, but George Lucas says, they didn't use any of my ideas.
Sorry.
So anyone that is wondering, hey, did they use anything from where George was going to go with Episode 7? Nope. They completely dumped everything, according to George Lucas, and it's a completely new concept. And he also explains that he is avoiding any details from the movie. He wants to be a fan like the rest of us.
Yeah.
All right. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay. I am 8 great movies to watch before they disappear off of Netflix. So, I found this list, and I thought we would look through and see which of these we would try and see before February 1st. So, February 1st, these movies will be gone. Zodiac. Any interest?
Jake
Gyllenhaal, Robert Downey Jr. Okay. Is this about the Zodiac Killer?
I believe so.
Okay.
So what's it? Ruffalo in that?
Yes, Mark Ruffalo is in that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an alternate list of movies to see if you enjoyed the Banner Stark dynamic from Avengers,
right?
And I think
right.
Zodiac is one of those.
Zodiac is on there. Okay, yeah. The original MASH is currently up and will be going away.
Okay,
I've already seen it, so I don't need to. Batman Returns, seen it, and I don't need to see it before February 1st. How about yourself?
Same here.
Yeah. We go on to Apocalypse Now. Probably saw it when I was way too young and no interest in seeing it now.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched that.
Goldfinger. I didn't even realize there was any Bond up there. Yeah, that some classic Roger Moore. Mad Max.
Hold on a second. Did you say Goldfinger?
Goldfinger, yeah.
Wasn't that Connery?
Oh, you're right. Connery, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Good catch.
No problem.
So, Mad Max. I think I'm going to have to watch this before February 1st. I haven't seen it in ages, and Mad Max Fury Road coming to theaters in May, that is...
True that.
That is good time. Why are they letting that go? If I was the people with the rights to Mad Max, I'd be like, no, go ahead. No, you don't have to sign anything. Just leave it up. Whatever. You know? I would not be rushing them to take that down. No, we'll extend. We'll extend. Till May. No problem. Yeah. For free. No, don't worry about it. Free advertising. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Often quoted on this show in the past. Loved by both of us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I think I've seen it enough.
Yes.
But an absolute classic.
Yeah. We've been fortunate that we've had to break out the genital cuff for either host on this show, so count yourself lucky.
Airheads. That I have not seen in ages.
That is not bad, even though it does have Adam Sandler in it. It's a nice, mindless, farce kind of movie.
Right.
Yeah.
On to number 9. Somehow I went the wrong way. Oh, no. That was it. There were 8.
Yeah, okay. 9.
It was 8.
All right.
Duh, learn to count, all right. So a couple in there. worth seeing. A couple in there, I think.
Definitely.
Mad Max for sure. I've got to watch Mad Max before it goes away.
And Dirty Rotten Scoundrels again. If you hadn't seen it or you haven't seen it recently. Okay, so as we usually like to do, let's go from Star Wars to Star Trek. We all know that, or you should know, that the original director that they were going to have for Star Trek 3 left the project, and they hired Justin Lin, who directed, I believe, the last Fast and Furious. But everyone's wondering, well, they got a director. Who's going to write this? Because part of the reason that Roberto Orci was going to, reason he left, as I'm struggling to say here, was they didn't like the script. So they are getting Simon Pegg to be a co-writer with Doug Jung, who was the creator of the TNT series Dark Blue. So these two fine gentlemen are going to be writing the script. So I hope it's good. Simon Pegg actually does have some chops because he did write all of the Cornetto trilogy movies, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End, in addition to Run, Fat Boy, Run, even though I didn't see that. So let's hope. Let us hope beyond hope that we get a good script. Art, what do you got next?
Okay. I don't know why this caught my eye. But I had to bring it up. Okay. 10 worst movies of the 90s according to Riff Trax. Now, you know what Riff Trax is, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a website.
Well, they're basically the people...
Oh, Riff Trax. I'm sorry. For some reason, I was thinking BuzzFeed. So you're talking about the guys who do the commentary over bad movies.
Yes.
Or good movies.
Right. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, number 10 on the list, Waterworld. Waterworld, I do not think was one of the worst movies of the 90s. I think Waterworld was a big flop. I think they spent way too much money on Waterworld. I think it was something like $100-something million, $120, $180. It was ridiculous what they spent on it. It was a commercial flop, but I didn't think the movie was terrible. I kind of enjoyed it. Does that make me a bad person?
No. It makes you a bad person that you didn't like The Second Hobbit, but you like that. But... No. Everybody has their blind spot.
My expectations were lower.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Okay, so number 9. This totally deserves to be on this list. Cool as Ice, the Vanilla Ice movie.
Oh, yeah. Goes outside.
I have actually seen this, and that was terrible. Biodome with Pauly Shore, another real winner, totally deserves to be on this list.
Yeah, slam dunk sneakers.
Yes. Troll 2. I have heard an interview with the director of Troll 2, and Troll 2 was not even part of it. Had no relation to the first Troll movie. It was supposed to be something totally different. And something went horribly, horribly wrong, and it got released as Troll 2. And quite possibly one of the worst movies of all time. So I don't even know how it made number 7. It should have went higher. Number 6, Kazam, with Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty bad. That was epically bad. Godzilla definitely deserves to be on this list. That was in an age when before Michael Bay started pooping on my childhood, somebody else entirely pooped on my childhood, because I was a big, Toho Films original Man in a Rubber Suit Godzilla, and this Godzilla was just not for me.
Okay.
Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. This is another one I'm going to disagree with.
Same here.
And definitely not at number 4 on the list. I mean, maybe if they had put it at number 10, I might have let that slide, because there's a lot of hate for that movie. But number 4? No way. Number 3, we have Super Mario Brothers, the movie. Definitely.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's worth watching once.
My brain won't let me watch it.
Okay. I saw some of it recently. I've told you about going to that that board game meetup that meets up in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
They actually run bad movies in the background, because it's like a sports bar. There are big screens everywhere, but instead of sports, they run, old sci-fi movies, fantasy movies. They'll run anything that you bring in. I mean, I've seen, the third Pokemon movie, bits and pieces. They've had Super Mario. I really need to take Zardos in with me the next time I go and say, here, put this on. But you know what? There's some nudity in it, and there's kids around sometimes, so maybe that won't work. Yeah, I'm going to have to scratch that. That's not going to work. Battlefield Earth. Definitely. That was a... those were career lows for Forrest Whitaker and...
Travolta,
yeah, definitely. I have not seen that movie in its entirety. I've only seen bits and pieces. I've never gone out of my way to watch it all. But yeah, that is horrible. Horrible, horrible. And number one on the list, I really don't think this deserves to be number one. I would have put them in a different order. Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that was on the other day. And it's not the stinkiest turd I've ever seen.
No. But I did like the... was this the Clooney or the Kilmer?
I believe that was the Kilmer.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and I used to be such a big fan of his, too. Okay. So, that is it for the 10 worst movies of the 90s, according to Riff Tracks. So, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. All right, so I came across this very cool thing. It's the Tom Wilson Back to the Future fact sheet. So, if you don't remember, Tom Wilson played Biff in all three of the Back to the Future movies.
Yes.
And so he carries this little card that has a bunch of facts, because a lot of people, he got sick of all the questions.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Because it's been 30 years, man.
Right.
And so, justified or not, I thought it was funny.
Years.
Yeah, it has been 30 years. So, I mean, it'll probably take me like 5 or 6 minutes to read the whole thing. So I'm just going to highlight some parts. It starts with, I'm Tom Wilson. I was in all three Back to the Future movies. Michael J. Fox is nice. I'm not in close contact with him. Christopher Lloyd is nice. He is a very shy man. Crispin Glover is unusual, but not as unusual as he sometimes presents himself. Eric Stoltz originally played Marty, but was fired due to performance issues. I don't know if you've heard about that one.
I have heard about that one.
The movies were shot back-to-back, never before attempted by a movie studio. The hoverboards didn't really fly. We were hanging by wires and a crane. Among many improvs on the set, I coined the term butthead, as well as make like a tree and get out of here. Third movie was my favorite, since I got to learn Western skills like riding, roping, quick draw, and shooting a six-shooter. A great adventure for a guy from Philadelphia. It was the first movie I acted in, if you don't count being killed in the kung fu movie Ninja Turf.
Nice.
I made less money than you think. I'm a painter as well. You can contact me at www.tomwilsonusa.com. Thank God and God bless you. And he has his own podcast. I think it's Big Pop Fun or Big Pop Gun. It's on the Nerdist Network. And he actually goes around to stand up and musical performing.
Nice.
So yeah, interesting guy. He actually did a interview on the Nerdist, which is an interesting lesson. I'm sure you can find it if you're so inclined.
Very cool.
Okay, Mr. Santos, what you got next?
Okay, well, leading off of my last story, where they talked about 8 films that you should see before they go away, they have a full list of things leaving on February 1st. And I thought I would look over that list and see if there was anything else that caught my eye. A View to a Kill, another Bond. From Russia with Love. Oh, a lot of Bond leaving. Live and Let Die. Never Say Never Again. Yeah, a lot of their Bond stuff is going away. Okay. Gem and the Holograms, season 1 to 3. Oh, that is. Oh, My Little Pony is leaving. That's not good.
Uh-oh.
I have to start recording those. That's it. That's it of note. So, yeah, a couple other things. But it boggles my mind the way things keep moving around. I've got to really get caught up on my Netflix queue before things start disappearing that I really want to see and I'm not getting around to.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go through and reprioritize my list. that's what this is going to make me do. I'm going to reprioritize my list. Move that to the top of the queue.
All right. So my last news story, more of a fun thing than any new information. From comicbook.com, when Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. became Firefly/Serenity. So basically what they're saying is that if you look at the current cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Firefly, they basically have the same characters.
Okay.
So number one, you have the captain.
Mm-hmm.
You have Mal, and then you have, Phil. Superpower girl genius. You have River and
mm-hmm.
Sky.
Mm-hmm.
You have the rogue trader, Jane and Ward.
Yep.
The man-child savant, Wash and Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're getting a little more off track with the Sirens. You have Inara and Bobby. I don't know if she's much of a siren. The Old Soul, you have Shepherd Book, and then you have Trip, who's more of a younger guy, but I guess they're saying he's an old soul because of, you know, his dad was
right.
A Howling Commando. Or not dad, a grandfather, I think.
Grandfather.
Science Sister, you have Kaylee and Simmons.
Yeah.
Science Studs, you have Simon. And, Mac.
Right.
Thank you for tooltips. Human Machine, you have Zoe and May.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing they have, War of Independence. Both the Browncoats and S.H.I.E.L.D. suffered a crushing defeat at the hands of a totalitarian regime.
Nice.
The Alliance and Hydra, respectively. And it says there's a poster here for the Alliance, spreading civilization one planet at a time. And the Femme Fatale, you have Yosef Bridge, and you have Reyna. Oh,
Reyna.
And I forgot two more. The Lost Love, you have... the hooker with a heart of gold. I can't remember his name.
Right.
Or her name. And then the violin player.
Cellist.
I'm sorry, cellist. Yeah, they're all strings. Okay. and then the unholy ally. We have the operative from the movie. And we have Deathlok. So, yeah. I don't know. Some yes, some no.
Yeah, but more yes than no.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
I like it. I like it. Well, that wraps me up.
All right. So we're done with news. That's what I'm hearing.
We are.
All right. So we are at the end of this week's episode. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. Take care. Do something fun. And we will we'll catch you next time. Say goodbye, Art.
And goodbye. Go watch a movie.